Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And I am Rob W. Schneider.
And this is My Favorite Things. It's that time of week, everybody.
Happy Thursday.
Thursday.
If you listen to us on Thursday, maybe you don't listen to us on Thursdays.
Maybe you listen to us on a Friday or a Saturday. Or maybe you wait till Monday.
Oh, you didn't do what I wanted you to do. What
did you want me to do?
Maybe you listen to it a Friday or a Saturday. You're on a Sunday.
Or the Jonathan Larson Sunday, which is an inversion of the song Sunday.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like Sunday from, by the blue,
From
he inverts it. He goes Sunday, da da da.
He's in blue, you know silver what I mean? Chromium diner.
Like,
yes.
Okay, I'm just trying to. I feel like I was with Larry Hawkman for a minute trying to explain a musical term. Remember when we were in the middle of an interview and Larry was just like, blah, 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 and I was like, Larry, what's counterpoint? And he was like, oh, look at all the lowly Eleanor Rigby. So that other part, that's a counterpoint. And I've told that story to five different people because I was so amazed.
We have Larry Hawkman, the brilliant Tony Award-winning orchestrator. We just interviewed him. I don't think he'll be on by the time you guys hear this.
Probably
but
not.
But just listen for the Eleanor Rigby, which is kind of genius.
And then in the middle of it, I was like, you have perfect pitch. And he was like, yeah, but it doesn't matter. And then he moves on. And then he was trying to get the right key for the Beethoven Symphony. And I'm like, Larry, it doesn't matter if it was minor or a G
but
minor.
For him, it means something.
I love that so much.
It was a great interview. I can't wait for you guys to listen to it.
Hey, how are you?
Good. I have to apologize. I'm very lucky. I live in a quiet apartment in New York.
It is very quiet.
And it's always quiet, except when we go to record. And I literally just heard a saw, and I opened up my front door, and there is a 60-year-old man.
Oh, there it is.
There he goes. He's wearing nothing but shorts, and he's cutting wood. So you might hear in the back of this episode a buzz.
Or you might not, and you think we're crazy. I don't know. We are crazy.
I don't even know if you're listening. Who's listening?
And is anybody there?
What's that from?
Well, it wasn't the right notes at all, but is anybody there? I always think of
1776. Yeah, is anybody?
I want to talk to him.
William Daniels or John Adams?
No, Mr. Feeney.
Oh, I would love to talk to William Daniels. He would be great. Salpeter. By God, I've had it with this Congress.
Oh my gosh. That's a great movie because that movie actually represents very much what the stage version is. Sorry, the song went on again, you guys.
We can't hear, so we don't know if you're hearing this or if you're not hearing this. We don't know. But if you are, imagine that we're in a theater and we're building up a set.
Indeed. I have a question for you. Yes. And I have a question for listeners out there. And if you're out there, if anyone is there, first of all, thank you for listening. Second of all, Rob and listeners, where do you get your Broadway news? I've had an existential crisis with my normal news sources. I love Playbill, but they've become a little like BuzzFeed, where it's like,
oh yeah,
you know, like 14 things so and so does when they wake up in the morning before they go to rehearsal. And I really, what I want is and I love that, and that's awesome. But I miss the days
where
it was
Rachel Bay Jones eats for brunch on Tuesdays.
Exactly, Rachel Bay Jones's favorite cocktails. Sydney Lucas's favorite video games to play on the weekends. You know, I want to know.
Ian loves theater. Has just won the Lifetime Achievement Award.
I'm more of a very sterile news kind of person. I enjoy
cold and clinical.
Exactly. You couldn't have said that better. And I'm wondering if you or listeners out there, do you have a cold and clinical place where you get just the facts, just the news, just like literally bullet points. Yeah. I want facts. I don't want opinions. I want facts.
Broadway Briefing.
Wait, are you kidding me?
No, I'm being
I've never
serious.
Even heard of that.
Broadway Briefing is...
you're blowing my mind.
It's an email service that you can sign up for. And they give you... It's free.
Did you write this down right now?
Sure. There's two versions. There's a free version in which they give you, you know, like what you want, like the facts and the news. Then they have something called Broadway Briefing Pro, which I don't sign up for, where you pay a yearly subscription fee and it gets a lot more detailed. Like it gives you numbers and,
I used to follow it's called Grace Notes. A woman did a similar thing. And then she went to a subscription and I didn't join.
I love Broadway Briefing.
Okay, I will definitely check that out.
They are absolutely fantastic. It's a really nice collection of news from all over the theater scene. But exactly what you're asking for. Very cold, very factual.
But up to date.
I think you get one every day. I think I get mine every day or every other day. Yeah. And it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. If I had enough money, I would do the pro version.
Right.
But I get it for free and I get all my news.
You get enough, I go to Broadway Stars oftentimes. Yeah. They've been a good, you know, they've been good over the years. But
And the people on, this is going to say, the all that chat group.
Yes, Rob.
Usually the first thread or the first line in the thread will be something factual, and then obviously you'll have like 25 different opinions, you know, but the first one always helps. But Broadway Briefing is the one I go to.
I will thank you you totally
I hope this doesn't come out the wrong way. I'm so excited that more people want to know about Broadway theater, because we didn't have that.
No, it's a new world, Golda. Like, I get it, you know. There's younger
people, 90 million
that,
websites, and there's 20 million Twitters, and there's
and
this
I go and some of the websites it's like watching CNN before an election. There's so many things going on.
There's so
and
much
I'm like,
information.
I actually I, call me old fashioned, but I really just want simple and just the facts.
I just need the facts. That's all I need. But Broadway Briefing is the
all
best
right, cool.
thing. Yeah,
thank you for that.
Absolutely. Wow. So, and also shout out to Broadway Briefing, because you guys do an amazing job.
Yeah, thank you.
You give Broadway me my Briefing. Theater news, and I say thank you for that.
Right.
Other entertainment news that you might like. Do you go to Deadline? Do you have Deadline?
No, I don't know that.
It's more movies and TV, but Jeremy Gerard does their theater section.
Right on.
But Deadline's a good app to have.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And listeners, if I'm forgetting one, please
let us know.
Let
what
us
do you
know
guys
you,
like?
You
and
like.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with where the direction that other places are going. It's just not for me when I have a certain amount of time and I just want to get the fat, you know.
Yeah, no. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. They do a really good job.
But I'm glad to know what Lindsay Mendez has for lunch every day.
It's important for me. It's important for me. And sometimes they're really interesting, like to see, like, they'll sit down. I saw one recently where they had Nathan Lane sit down and go, what were the 10 greatest performances you ever saw? That's interesting.
That's really cool.
I'm like, that's really interesting. And Lindsay, what do you have?
And Lindsay?
For lunch. What is your daily
what
lunch
What was your
like?
Halloween costume for the last 10 years?
I hope it was something exciting. I hope she went as Ryan Scott Oliver. That'd be a fun little thing for them to do. What was I going to say? Oh. Time to get some news out of the way. Speaking of news.
Oh.
Casting directors want to unionize.
It's all the news lately.
So,
first of all, didn't know they weren't unionized.
So they have CSA, which is the Casting Society of America.
Right.
It's kind of like a guild where they all just, you know, they get
have a little kiki and, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
and by the way, I'm so obsessed that you use the word kiki so often, and I've never used it once.
I watch RuPaul's Drag Race, where I get all of my words. My lexicon comes from RuPaul's Drag Race.
Is that true?
No, it's not. But I get a lot of new words from there. Yeah. All all tea, all shade. No tea, no shade, Rob. I'm not giving you any
shade.
Yeah, don't ask me what it means. We've talked about this like
weeks ago. Tea means gossip, and shade means you're
being all like, yeah, reading you. Yeah. So I learned that from them.
But no, there's a difference between shading and reading.
So stupid. What?
There's a difference between throwing shade and reading somebody.
Right.
Yeah. So you can't use them interchangeably.
Okay, I'll try not to.
They're separate.
I'm still
separate
learning. I'm a student.
No. We're all learning.
Kiki is like, I like using word kiki because it's just silly. But I like using it when it's like really butch. Like, oh, look at those cops are having a little kiki over there. You know, I just like to like throw it in there. I don't know. It works interchangeably with meeting or gathering.
When I watch football games and they go on
like,
a huddle.
Look at those guys. They're having a little kiki on the 10-yard line. What are they doing?
What are you guys going to do?
You're going to kick it? You're going to run it? You're just going to have a kiki about it.
You're the oddest sportscaster I've ever seen in my life. I love that. So
they want to unionize.
They want to unionize.
As they should. They are such important players in the business, and yet the minute the show gets going, it's they're done. Their work is... Their service is over.
Well, kind of.
Except if it's a long-running show, and then they're... consistently
replacements,
filling it in.
Tours.
That's right.
This, that.
And they are the gatekeepers of all of the talent in New York City as well. They might not even have an open call. They might just get a call from a director saying, hey, I need so-and-so. Do you have this kind of person? And they'll say, yes, I've got five of them. Who do you want?
And this, but just a reminder, this isn't going to just affect theater. This is film and television as well.
It's crazy.
There's a great documentary on HBO called Casting By, about the importance of casting directors and how the casting industry got started, and how for a very long time it was, and I might still be, it might actually still is, it was the main artistic profession that was dominated by women, where women were in a majority of the positions.
Oh, isn't that? I know Kristen Chenoweth's mom, Ellen Chenoweth, was a major casting director.
And Casting By is just a really, really fantastic movie about how it got started, and... It's on HBO Go. You can watch it. It's genius. It was.
I'll check that out.
Yeah, it was really, really good. But yeah, so they want to become a union.
How do you feel about that?
They should be a union. This is absolutely crazy. Yeah. This is absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. That they listen, they get talent into the door. They have to have 90 million things running through their head at all times. Okay, and think of the challenges that are faced by the casting directors every single day that they need. Imagine you're having to cast Natasha Pierre in The Great Comet of Eight. Imagine casting in Bandstand, and they have to have 20 names in their mind for when that first person that they suggest. Nope. It's amazing. This is absolutely, so they should have a union. They should be unionized. They should be allowed health insurance and pension. And this is crazy. Absolutely. Especially in our community. Not saying that film and television casting isn't just as important. I mean, they do a lot. Oh my God.
And there's tons, but I will say in our community, in the Broadway world, and I know that most of you listening probably know this because you're actors or you're in the business, but if you're not, there's only, how many are there? There's no more than a dozen casting directors in New York.
A statistic
and
came out.
And the main ones, the big ones, there's like five or six that I would say are the big, big casting directors.
Telsey, Binder,
Ruben.
Tara Ruben. What else am I
Jim
forgetting?
Carnahan.
Jim Carnahan.
And then you have your smaller regionals. And then you have like your, you know, like your Michael Casares, your, you know, Bob Klein, the gatekeeper of non-equity theater. Yeah. I mean, like he does everything. But they really are the, everyone filters through them. Every single professional actor.
And any actor who says, oh, casting directors hate me or I hate casting directors, they love you.
They don't.
They need you to be good.
They want you to solve their problems.
Yes. And so, yeah, they should be unionized. They deserve it. We stand with casting directors.
I agree. Oh, most
behind
definitely.
The curtain, Broadway's living legends stands with casting directors. Fairness for casting. That's what we have to say.
Amen.
My best man at my wedding was a casting director.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Mark Simon.
Oh, my goodness.
Who cast Parade in the last 5 years.
I didn't know he was your best man.
He was my best man, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I love casting directors more than anything.
He was Jason Robert Brown's guy for a long time.
Long time. Mm-hmm. We should get him on this show. He's got great stories.
That'd be fun.
He was a producer originally and gave Alec Baldwin his equity card.
Well. Look at
that. Parade was written in his office.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because he had a piano in his office, and Jason was like, I need a quiet place to work.
Amazing.
He's like, can I come work in your office? So Mark says he would do work, and in the next room, he would hear like the old Red Hill.
That's really wild.
That's pretty exciting.
I do think that they often get they don't get the rights that they deserve, and I'm quite with you.
So let's change this. Get them unionized. If you believe in them, you know, I think it's called #fairness for casting.
Okay.
Go and support.
Maybe we can post that or something.
We will post that. You're absolutely right, Kevin. Let's post.
Yes. Let's post away.
Post our dreams. And while you are posting, you can listen to My Favorite Thing.
My Favorite Things.
That's what we need. That's the segue we really need.
What?
That's the transition that anytime we go, and now listen to it. My favorite thing.
But sung to the,
yeah,
to the tune of
I Had a Dream.
Thank you.
A wonderful dream.
Oh,
a wonderful
Roberto.
Thing.
Roberto. What do you what kind of item do you have today?
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy about this. I really am. I have for you a collection.
A collection.
A little higher, please.
A collection.
This is why you don't get cast. Because you go in, you speak everything in that voice, and it doesn't work effectively.
It doesn't work.
No, this you're a Iago audition for the public.
I need to go for Cunegonda.
You got to go for Cunegonda.
A collection of DVDs, a collection of books, theater world books.
It's a collection of CDs, which are now all available on Amazon, Spotify, and Apple Music, and I love it so much.
Are they the, what's his name's, Town Halls?
No, it's not like Town the, Hall. Okay. We did that.
No, the, but those My Favorite Year things, like, you know, where it's like...
Oh yeah,
you know
Scott
what I'm
Siegel
talking
stuff.
About? Scott Siegel things.
No, it's not okay. That, although I do love the Scott Siegel stuff.
I love that. I don't know. What is it?
Well, don't be too excited. This is Capitol Records. I hope everyone knows what Capitol Records
is.
If they don't, I'll give you a reminder. Capitol Records was one of the biggest recording labels, actually still is.
But that building in West Hollywood.
Big old round white building in West Hollywood. But in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, any singer who was a singer was signed with Capitol. I mean, Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., Dean Martin, Ella Fitzgerald, Jeez. Nat King Cole. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. And as you remember, back in the 40s and 50s and part of the early 60s, their repertoire on albums mostly came from show tunes.
Of course, they were the hit factory. Show tunes were the hit factory back
so,
then.
So Cole Porter, George Gershwin, Irving Berlin,
yes,
right?
Bob Merrill.
What'd you say? And Bob Merrill.
How much is that doggy in the window? That was a top hit.
And I told you my sad Bob Merrill story, right?
Wait, don't
have
tell
I done
me,
on this podcast? I feel like I have. Maybe I'll mention it again. For those
well,
of you
did
who,
to,
yeah, for those
that
of
was
you
me
who,
putting my. Well, that's not.
No. But for those of you who don't,
suicide.
For don't know, Bob Merrill killed himself. And they used to, and they played it on the news, not the the killing, but they
oh,
were like,
yes.
And Bob Merrill, lyricist, blah, blah, passed yes. away today. He was found at home with an apparent gunshot wound, self-inflicted gunshot wound. How much is that doggy in the window?
That's and wrong.
Then,
that's just.
And then, don't tell me now, darling, just sit and potter. Life's ca-.
And I'm like, and you're like, guys,
he killed himself.
He was
like,
sad enough that he
like, do we really need to have like, how much is that doggy in the window and Don't Rain on My Parade playing under? Like, this is not going to work, guys. That's my, it's a sad
I do
Bob
remember
Merrill
that.
Story.
I think we have talked about that before, but I
just a reminder.
Appreciate it
again. I'm sorry, Bob.
I'm so sorry to for the non sequitur.
No. So Capitol had this massive collection of all these singers. So in the 90s, they did something which like makes my musical theater heart go pitter patter.
I love when that happens.
They released a series called Capitol Sings, and it was by composer and lyricist. And then they found singers who had sung songs on the Capitol label and put them all in there. So, for example, there's Fascinating Rhythm, Capitol Sings, the Gershwins. There is You're the Top, Capitol Sings, Cole Porter.
Are you? I'm
and so
flabbergasted right
so
now.
So it's all those people, and I want to read them off.
And
to
it's
you.
On Spotify.
It's on Spotify.
What?
Apple Music and Amazon. So here we go. I'm going to list them off so our listeners know, because it's a series, right? There was an Irving Berlin one, George Gershwin, Cole Porter, Duke Ellington, Rodgers and Hart, Rodgers and Hammerstein. Do you find it?
Yeah.
Jerome Kern, Harold Arlen, Johnny Mercer, Sammy Kahn, Frank Lesser, Hoagie Carmichael, Jimmy McHugh, Harry Warren, and then one's called The Best Movie Songs, One was called Making Whoopee, the Broadway version. One was called Small Fry. It's all kids' songs.
I'm looking at Capital Sing Sammy Kahn. It's Magic.
Yep.
With the Andrews sisters and, yep. and Lena Horne and Dinah Shore. And it, oh, my gosh. And they're yep. all the album covers are all these, like, really cool artwork, yeah. if you've oh, seen them before.
That's what it really appealed to me, because I was in a Borders. Remember Borders bookstore?
Oh, hello. I grew up there.
Okay, and I was like, what are these cool album covers? And it was Capital Sings. Yes.
I just raised my hand.
Yes.
Is that where our title song for our podcast comes from? Is Raindrops on Roses. Isn't that from one of those albums?
Yes. Yes, it is. If you listen to the Rodgers and Hammerstein one called Hello Young Lovers, it is Tennessee Ernie Ford.
Yes. Sing,
yeah, that's where it comes from.
I thought so.
So what's interesting, I just want to throw you out a couple of ones. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. The Capitol period was a time when sometimes singers would do things absolutely like as written and beautifully. And then sometimes
they made liberties.
There was something about like the 50s and 60s with people taking liberties on stuff. Like Frank Sinatra would do that all the time lyrically. Right. Oh, yeah. But I mean, okay. So here are the ones that I really, right? It's
There's
all
like
there.
15 albums on
yeah. The it's pretty cool. So here's a couple of songs though, that I think you should look up okay. because I think they're really wonderful. Nat King Cole does Pick Yourself Up from the Jerome Kern album. Susan Barrett does an amazing Manhattan from the Rodgers and Hart album. Cole Porter on the Cole Porter album. Oh my God. There are two that I'm just like obsessed with. Judy Garland. Oh. Sings I Happen to Like New York and it starts off, hold on, I'm not going to do this right, but it's a quartet of boys and they all start off going, Judy, we're so happy you're here. And she goes, thank you. And they go, Judy, we're so happy you're in New York. I know.
And then no consonants.
And then she sings, I happen to like New York.
Oh my goodness.
She and then Liza Minnelli does another song on the track, so it's mother daughter, and she sings Looking at You, which is a Cole Porter song I was unfamiliar with, and it is so fun. So listen to Liza Minnelli doing Looking at You.
Were they recorded now? And I will yes. say, I will preface this by saying, you know, and friends out there, you most of you know this, but a lot of times singers were signed to a recording, you know, a certain
label, yeah,
and you couldn't let go to others.
No,
but if
you
the
were
label
contracted.
Owned those, if the label owned you, then they could be like, hey, Judy, you got to sing on this album.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so, and what's fascinating to me is that they were able to get all these amazing singers for. Did they record? From what you can tell, did they record anew these songs for these albums, or did they pull from other?
No, it's all pulled.
Aha.
So for example, if Judy Garland did an album and she happened to sing Cole Porter's I Happen to Like New York,
then they're gonna pull
and
so
that
they,
was like
it's
one
a compilation
of, 12
of
the compilation yeah the compilation
so
CDs.
It's a great way to hear these songs but also hear these artists sing them the way that they artists wanted to sing them.
Absolutely. And it's such a cool way of hearing popular songs reimagined. However, there are two. Oh, no, there's one that I'm obsessed with. Frances Fay does the best Miss Otis Regrets I've ever heard in my life. I have no idea who Frances Fay is.
I was just going to ask you if you knew.
No,
because I know the Bette Midler version, of
no,
course.
No, but this is, I think it's even better than Bette Midler's.
Wow. Which like is this. Cole Porter, right?
Cole Porter.
Yeah.
But there are two that you need to listen to because they're kind of like, what am I listening? Like I kind of
like, is it good?
Like, I cringe into a ball. Can I give you my two? Mm-hmm. Dinah Shore on the Rodgers and Hart album does Falling in Love with Love.
Oh, Dinah.
But with bongos.
No.
So it's no. Falling in love with love. Then there's
okay.
one. I can't believe I'm telling you this because I just did the research before you got here because I'm like, I want to talk about this song, but I want to know who the singer is because I don't recognize her.
Right.
And then I heard about her life and I'm like, this is too much for me. I'm not making fun of her. I'm making fun of the interpretation. On the Gershwin album, a woman by the name of Ann Richards, not the governor from Texas, and her husband at the time was a guy named Stan Kenton, who's a very famous piano player.
Was he?
At this time, he was.
Okay.
He was she wasn't famous, and apparently he married her. And he got, because he was more well-known, he got her a record deal. And this was her album. Then they divorced afterwards, and then she killed herself. So this is it's just took a real dark. How much is that doggy in the window? Took a real dark turn. But Ann Richards on the Gershwin album does a version of "I Got Rhythm." I'm going to try to impersonate for you.
I'm excited.
How she does it? Are you ready?
Yes.
Remember, the song is called "I Got Rhythm."
Rhythm.
I got rhythm. I got music.
Stop, stop.
I got my
You snap rhythm. Your finger like that.
Who could ask for anything more? Mm-mm. I'm like, it's called I Got Rhythm.
Please post it.
You can
Please
negotiate with me on everything else except rhythm. You were telling me you got it. You got to show me you got it. I Got Rhythm, sung by Ann Richards, accompanied by Stan Kenton.
I'm looking it up. I can't find it.
Oh, I will send it to everybody.
No, that's all I need is you singing it. Actually, who I don't need Ann Richards. I need Rob Schneider.
But I swear to you, I think I'm actually more in rhythm than she is with
it. I hope you post that because that's
I will totally post it. So I really love it. It's the Capitol Sings collection. Capitol,
that's fantastic. C-A-P-I-T-O-L,
I believe.
A-L in my Spotify.
Oh, is it A-L? Oh, then I'm wrong. I'm wrong.
No, nope. O-L. You're totally right. O-L. I spelled it wrong.
O-L.
Spotify did it right.
Yeah.
My bad. Yeah, I see Harry Warren, Harold Arlen, Rodgers and Hammerstein, putting on the Ritz, Irving Berlin, Cole Porter.
Oh, yeah, they do everybody.
Every single... and they're Hoagy all, Carmichael? Oh, my God.
It's really wonderful. And also, it's summertime.
Making whoopee.
I love summertime, and I love jazz in the summertime. I don't know why. So open up the windows, put on one of these albums. It's really good.
Well, that is such a good favorite thing, Rob.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. So take a listen to the Capitol Sings collection. Like I said, available on Amazon, Spotify, and Apple Music. What is yours, my friend?
All right, so I'm really...
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater. SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Gosh, this has been one of my favorite. It's a DVD. And I tried to find it on YouTube. Not found. Can't find it.
Oh.
Unfortunately, friends, you have to actually go on Amazon and buy this DVD. It's a series, also sort of a series of videos. It was made in the late 70s. I have come back to it many times because there's something about seeing writers talk about their own work and perform them.
Yes.
You're smiling like you know.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't remember the title.
I feel like I've talked to you about it
before.
Yes,
but I've never watched one.
I tried to find it on YouTube. I couldn't find it. I had to go through my, remember DVDs? I like went through my collection. I'm looking at yours and I have not gone through my DVDs in forever because everything's digital now.
Yeah.
But I found this DVD and I'm going to give you the title. Here's the title, friends. The overall title is Broadway and Hollywood Legends, comma, The Songwriters. That's what this one is.
Broadway and Hollywood.
Broadway and Hollywood Legends, The Songwriters. Oh. And this DVD features An Evening with Candor and Ebb and Alan J. Lerner.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to choose to focus on the Candor and Ebb because I just think that part spoke to me the most. But the DVD has Alan J. Lerner as well. What this is... it's very much like the 92nd Street Y series that you get, which has like composers and lyricists talking about their work and oftentimes performing them. I'm guessing It opens with Liza Minnelli, a young Liza from the 70s, healthy and happy. And she says, you know, these guys wrote, gave me my first start in Floor the Red Menace. And I just have to say, it was 13 years ago. So it's 13 years ago from Floor the Red Menace.
You say you don't do impressions, and you bust them out, and they're so good.
It's around 1978. It definitely was filmed in Toronto. I looked at a review on Amazon, and one of the guys thought that it was 92nd Street. It's not. It's definitely filmed in Toronto. It is Kander and Ebb. John Kander's at the piano. Fred Ebb in all his glory is at the mic. They both take turns singing. You get a sense of their personalities on this video. And those of you out there who may have known them or know about them, John Kander, the quiet one, the sweet one, the one you could sit at a bar with and have a chat with. Fred Ebb, the one who hosts the party, the New Yorker, the one who is like, you know, if there's a party, bring Fred along with you.
You saw the movie All That Jazz, right?
A long time ago, and I need to see it again.
The guy, the songwriter, that's based on Fred Ebb.
Is it?
Yeah.
I wish that he was still alive. I mean, I wish he was still alive for so many reasons, but just because I would have liked to know just how special and, you know, larger than life he was.
Liza Minnelli said everything she learned about acting, she learned from
Fred Ebb. That's the point of my favorite thing
today.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
No.
Oh, so sorry.
No, I'm well done. Because, yes. Yeah. So in this video from 1978, which this is right after 2 years after Chicago. This is a year after New York, New York. They just wrote Cabaret again for the movie, 5 years after the movie. You see Fred perform, and it's hysterical. The thing opens up. There's no introduction. Eliza does the introduction, and then you cut to them on this. It's a live performance. They do really great camera work. I think there must have been three different cameras, and then it's not a steady cam, but it's a moving cam. And you get Fred. He's already sweating. John's at the piano, so chill. Like, John's just like, hey, guys. But Fred, they start the vamp. No words spoken. Dun. Dun 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 da 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 da, all that jazz, and then Fred just soaks it in, talking to the audience. He's like, "This is what we call a vamp." waits. A vamp means vamp till ready. So he has to wait for me, and he's like, "All of that jazz," and he does all of these isms that are just natural for him and are, let me give you an idea of some of the, and so before every single song, Fred talks about every single number. He teaches the audience about, you know, what a vamp is. He also teaches us what, you know, specialty material. He said anyone that could give us $3, we would write them a song. They wrote tons of special material, trunk songs, party songs he talks about. Mm. So let me just, I want to just give you a quick little rundown. He sings all that jazz. Then he goes into Liza with a Z, you know, Liza with a Z, not Liza with an S, because Liza with an S goes, that song.
Yeah.
And he sings that full out. Then John sings A Quiet Thing. Then Fred and John sing, Fred sings Maybe This Time. They sing Sara Lee. He sings this great song from The Act that they wrote that was just a party song called Bobos, you know, like, it's a tragic song. And the reason why they wrote it is because a very close friend of theirs had died. And so they said, we need to work. We can't dwell on this. We have to get to work. But then the work took on this deeper meaning. My coloring book, they sing Tomorrow Morning from Happy Time. Tomorrow morning, da da dee dee dee. I can't say enough about, I've watched this video so many times.
I've never seen it.
To see, and by the end of it, Fred is like, John's still like, just like at the piano being like, okay, next. But Fred is dripping in
just
sweat.
Dripping.
Just like living and having fun. And they both perform, but it's to hear them sing their own words and music, to see the love and respect when John sings like A Quiet Thing, his favorite. They each sing their favorite song, A Quiet Thing. Fred just sits at the piano and watches him. But at the end, he's crying. You can see him wipe away tears. It's great. I looked it up on Amazon. It's $37 on Amazon Prime. You can buy it used for $12. If anyone can find it on YouTube, let me know, because I searched and searched and searched and searched, and I couldn't find it, which is, I think, a tragedy, because it, of course, we should be paying for it, but it needs to be seen.
Yeah.
To see songwriters sing their own, your own material. And in that era, before Woman of the Year, before Kiss the Spider Woman, before all of that 80s stuff happened. Yeah.
No, I was.
It's amazing.
You mentioned Woman of the Year. I got all excited.
I know you did. So yeah, I can't get over it. It's just an hour long episode, and then also included in special features are Fred Ebb's photo journal that they include. So you can go through all these photos as like, this is vintage. You know, this is a 1990s DVD, so it's no frills.
Yes,
but you can look through all these photos that Fred so generously included in it. And it's a nice little scrapbook of an era and a songwriting team that we both love so much.
Yeah. Oh, that's so wonderful. Okay. Yeah. Called again.
Okay. Here's the full title. So you can look it up on Amazon. Broadway and Hollywood Legends, The Songwriters, An Evening with Kander and Ebb and Alan J. Lerner. And I'm not even going to... Alan J. Lerner is a whole other separate, you know, he's got his own excitement there.
Dance a little closer.
Exactly. Hello?
Close a little faster. Close. They used to call it. Mine is the Capitol Sings...
Well done.
...collection.
I can't wait to check that out.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch the DVD.
Yeah.
Till next time.
Huzzah!
Huzzah! Oh, you're so happy.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Kevin, guess what?
What, Rob?
We now have over 50 iTunes reviews.
Huzzah!
Huzzah! Indeed! Oh. We are climbing those iTunes rating charts.
That's amazing. Yeah. How do we climb even higher?
Can you take me high enough? Little Rock of Ages for you.
Do you know I like that you took it up so high too? You didn't even, you like went right to the tenor place.
I was gonna do
no Robert Goulet. Like,
no. Can you take me high enough?
Thanks for coming out tonight.
Ooh, and my falsetto there.
Thank you.
And a little Sergio Frankie?
Yeah, a little Sergio.
It's never over. Much like the 24-hour buffet down in the lobby of the Dunes Casino. Me and Sid the Caesar. Tonight's only at the Mirage. Sorry. Well, lovely listeners, this is where you come in. This is how we're going to climb those iTunes rating charts.
That's right. Lovely listeners, if you love us, would you go to iTunes? Click on the iTunes store. Search for Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Living Legends.
Then click on Ratings and Reviews. Under the Customer Reviews, click Write a Review. Then let us know what you think from 1 to 5 stars.
That's right. And you can leave comments, too, like Kevin Thomas is a god.
Or, Rob, who the hell is Hervé Villachez?
Who is Hervé
Villachez?
I fell for it again.
You fell for
that
it.
Wasn't even the script.
The man has never done one musical in his entire life, and he gets mentioned more than Stephen
Sondheim. Right, but I love him from James the Bond. Okay, anyway.
Oh, yes.
Guys, help us out.
Please. Thanks, everyone.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suffs celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.